Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Frihof Institute of Progressive Halakha. I'm Rabbi Mark Wyshovsky with the 12-minute shiur number 42, Avinu Malkenu on Shabbat. We're using a source sheet that you can download at our website. That's www.frihofinstitute.org/learning, and then scroll down to the 12-minute shiur. One of the most stirring prayers in the High Holiday Liturgy is Avinu Malkenu, recited before the open ark on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and on each of the Aseret Yemei Teshuvah, the 10 days of repentance. But many traditional machzorim instruct us that Avinu Malkenu is omitted on Shabbat. Does this mean that those Reform and liberal congregations that do say Avinu Malkenu on that day are violating or ignoring the halakha? Well, let's cut to the chase. The answer is no. It means that they're standing on one side of a long machloket or dispute in synagogue practice. Now, we use that word machloket or dispute advisedly because when a community decides either to recite or to skip Avinu Malkenu on Shabbat, it adopts either one of two conflicting rules of Jewish liturgy. We'll explain, but first to the machloket itself. The Kitzur Yalkut Yosef, it's a concise summary of the longer Yalkut Yosef that emanates from the family of the late Rabbi Ovadia Yosef, who was the chief Sephardic rabbi of Israel and a towering authority in Orthodox Sephardic halakha. In one of the chapters dealing with Rosh Hashanah, we read, and now we're on lines 3 through 11 on the source sheet, Achara chazara omrim avinu malkeinu v'chule. Following the recitation of the Rosh Hashanah tefillah by the Sheliach Tzibur, Avinu Malkenu is recited. V'imchal Rosh Hashanah b'Shabbat. If Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbat, it is the custom of some communities to recite it, although they omit the lines that mention sin and transgression. For example, Avinu Malkenu chatanu lefanecha, we have sinned before you. V'chein pashat ha-minhag b'rov batei ha-knesset shel ha-sfaradim. This is the widespread custom in most Sephardic synagogues. The same is true for Shabbat Shuvah, and all the more so when Yom Kippur falls on Shabbat, since on that day judgment is rendered, and therefore it's considered essential to say Avinu Malkenu. V'chein ra'ui linhog, that is the proper practice, according to the Yalkut Yosef, the Kitzur Yalkut Yosef. So, Sephardim do recite Avinu Malkenu on Shabbat, and those Machzorim that tell us to omit the prayer are speaking only for communities that follow the traditional Ashkenazi Minhag. Now, you may be wondering why this difference exists in the first place. I mean, why would anybody have a problem with saying Avinu Malkenu, that memorable and highly charged ritual moment so befitting of the High Holidays, just because that particular day is Shabbat? Well, for part of the answer, let's turn to what may be our earliest source for Avinu Malkenu. It's in the Talmud, Tractate Tandi 25b, and we're looking at lines 16 through 34. Tanu Rabbanan, a baraita, Maase b'Rabbi Eliezer shegazar shalosh esrei ta'aniyot al atzibor v'lo yardu geshamim. It happened that Rabbi Eliezer decreed 13 fasts upon the community, but the rains did not come. At the end, when the people began leaving the synagogue, he said to them, "Have you prepared graves for yourselves?" The people cried out in anguish, and the rain came. Shuv ma'aseh b'Rabbi Eliezer sheyarad lifnei ha-teva ve'amar esrim ve'arba brachot v'lo ne'ena. On another occasion, Rabbi Eliezer went down before the ark to act as Shaliach Tzibur on a public fast day and recited the 24 brachot that were customary in the tefillah for fast days in ancient times. But his prayer was not answered. Yarad Rabbi Akiva acharav ve'amar, Avinu Malkenu ein lanu melech ela ata, Avinu Malkenu lemancha rachem aleinu v'yardu geshamim. Rabbi Akiva followed him and recited, "Avinu Malkenu, we have no sovereign but you. Avinu Malkenu, have mercy upon us for your sake." And the rain came. Now, the text goes on to tell us that Rabbi Akiva's prayer was answered because he exceeded Rabbi Eliezer, his teacher, in humility and all-around niceness, which are, of course, good things. For our purposes, what's important is that Avinu Malkeinu originates as part of the liturgy for Ta'anit Tzibur, days on which the community engages in fasts over drought, plague, or other unfortunate events. And that's why Avinu Malkeinu is recited on fast days like Tisha B'Av and the 17th of Tammuz to our own time. But a Ta'anit Tzibur was never declared on Shabbat. Just as when the 9th of Av falls on Shabbat, the fast is postponed to the next day. So perhaps the reason why Avinu Malkeinu is omitted on Shabbat has to do with its origins in the liturgy for Ta'anit Tzibur. Now, the post-Talmudic halachic sources that deal with our question cite another reason. In late 14th century Spain, Rabbeinu Nisim Girondi, the Ran, lines 37 through 45, wrote that Minhagenu, our custom in Catalonia, is not to say Avinu Malkeinu when Rosh Hashanah occurs on Shabbat, because that prayer, especially in the expanded form that we have received it, centers upon She'elat Zrachim, petitioning God for our material, spiritual, individual, and national needs, something that's inappropriate on Shabbat. But, he continues, on Yom Kippur, when that occurs on Shabbat, we do say Avinu Malkeinu, because Yom Kippur is the moment of Gemer Hadin, the passing of judgment upon us. And after all, as he concludes with a nod to Tractate Avot, Im lo achshav ematai, if not now, that is, if we don't pray for atonement now, then when? Ron's student, the Rivash, that's Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Sheshet, and his text is in lines 50 through 66, wrote a detailed teshuvah on our subject. He acknowledges that there are numerous conflicting customs about whether and when to recite Avinu Malkeinu on Shabbat. He personally endorses the practice of the community of Barcelona, which omitted the prayer entirely, even on Yom Kippur that falls on Shabbat, because it is She'elat Zrachim, a petition for our needs. Now, his responsum goes on for quite a ways because, as we all know, this rule about not petitioning God for our needs on Shabbat is a leaky one. There are lots of exceptions to it. For example, on the high holidays, we insert petitions into various brachot of the tefillah, like Zochreinu L'chaim, remember us for life, in the first bracha, and B'sefer Chaim bracha v'shalom ufanasa tova, in the final bracha, and we recite those inserts on Shabbat as well as on weekdays. Rivash argues that Avinu Malkeinu is not like these exceptions. For details about his argument, see our essay on this topic. There's a link at the top of the source sheet. So that again, he concludes, Avinu Malkeinu should not be recited on Shabbat. Okay, so what about those who do say Avinu Malkeinu on Shabbat, like the Sephardim, according to the Shulchan Aruch? How do they justify uttering this petitionary prayer on the Sabbath day? The answer may lie in a Talmud passage that deals with a related issue. We're talking about Brachot 34a on lines 71 through 79. Amar Rav Yehuda, Le'olam al yishal adam tzorachav lo b'shalosh lishonot v'lo b'shalosh achronot ela be'emtzayot. Rav Yehuda said, one should never petition for one's needs in either the first three or the final three brachot of the tefillah, but rather in the middle brachot. Rav Yehuda is speaking here, obviously, of the weekday tefillah, where the 13 so-called middle brachot express petitions for our material and spiritual needs. He explains this structure by citing a mashal of Rabbi Hanina that compares the act of supplication before God to the way that a servant asks for favors from the servant's master. First, you speak the master's praises, then you ask for stuff, after which you formally take your leave. Okay, fine, but again, there are numerous exceptions to this so-called rule. For example, again, on the high holidays, we insert those petitions, Zochreinu L'chaim in the first bracha, and B'sefer Chaim Bracha V'Shalom into the final bracha, yet according to Rav Yehuda, they don't belong there. And besides, when you look at the text of bracha number 17, Ritzei, and bracha number 19, that's Sim Shalom or Shalom Rav, which is recited every day, you see that those final benedictions are all about petitioning God. Okay, so how do we explain this? Well, if we look at the Tosafot comment to the Talmud passage, lines 80 through 87, we see that the earliest commentators, the Babylonian Geonim, dealt with this very problem. They argued that the rule that prohibits supplication in the first three and final three brachot applies only to petitioning God for individual needs. But the tzibur, the community, may recite its petitions throughout the tefillah. Okay, now, what does all this have to do with Avinu Malkeinu? Well, here's where Rabbi Ovadia Yosef comes in. He suggests that if the distinction between tzorchei yachid, individual needs, and tzorchei tzibur, the needs of the community, can justify making exceptions to the Talmudic rule concerning the structure of the tefillah, that is, justifying petitions in the first three and the last three brachot, then that distinction is also strong enough to permit us to recite Avinu Malkeinu on Shabbat. For even though Avinu Malkeinu is a she'elah, a supplication, and we're not supposed to do she'elah tzorachim, petition God on Shabbat, Avinu Malkeinu is nonetheless framed in plural language. It expresses the needs and longings of the entire community, the entire people of Israel. For our part, we'd add that it has long been customary to recite other communal petitions at Shabbat services. For example, the prayer for our country, the prayer for the state of Israel, and even the Misha Berach for those who are ill, which has taken on the character of a public prayer. Now, if we as a community are entitled to recite those petitionary prayers, then there can be no real objection to saying Avinu Malkeinu. Sof sof, these two positions are contradictory. There's no resolving them. But as Rivash puts it at the end of his teshuvah, V'chol echad yaseh k'minhag makomo, let everyone follow the custom of their community on this matter. Okay, so if you want to omit Avinu Malkeinu on Shabbat, then that's fine. But know that if your congregation does recite it, it stands on solid halachic ground. That's all we've got, except for this. Avinu Malkeinu, kotvenu b'sefer chayim tovim. Avinu Malkeinu, inscribe us in the Book of Life. This has been the 12-Minute Shiur number 42 from the Frihof Institute of Progressive Halakha. Thanks for learning with us. Lehitraot.